And as they led him away, taking hold on one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, they laid the cross on him to bring it after Jesus. And there followed him a multitude of many people and of women, who also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs which never gave birth, and the breasts which never nursed.' Then they shall begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the moist tree, what shall be done in the withered?" And there were also others, two malefactors, led with him to be slain. And when they had come to a place called a skull, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And dividing his garments, they cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers with them also derided, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him vinegar and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And an inscription was also written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, because thou art in the same judgment? And we indeed justly, for we receive the worth of what we have committed. But this man has committed nothing amiss." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Amen, I say to thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was ripped in the middle. And crying out with a great voice, Jesus said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And having said these things, he let forth the spirit. But when the centurion saw what came to pass, he glorified God, saying, "Truly, this was a just man." And all the crowds who came together to that sight, beholding the things that were done, smiting their chests, returned. And all his acquaintances and the women who followed him with him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, being a good and just man, who had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews. He himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man, going to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus, and taking it down, he wrapped it in a cloth and placed it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, where no one had yet been laid. And that day was the preparation, and a Sabbath began to dawn. And the women also, who came together with him from Galilee, followed after and observed the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And returning, they prepared spices and ointments, and indeed they were quiet for the Sabbath, according to the commandment. Yehovah, or the Lord's internal man, was the very celestial of love, that is, love itself, to which no other attributes are fitting than those of pure love, thus of pure mercy toward the whole human race, which is such that it wills to save all and to make them happy to eternity and to bestow on them all that it has, thus out of pure mercy to draw all who are willing to follow to heaven, that is, to itself, by the strong force of love, This love itself is Yehovah, or the Father. The Lord never looked for any prize of victory for himself. His prize of victories was the salvation of the whole human race, and it was from love toward the entire human race that he fought. To him, the salvation of the human race was the only consolation, for he was in divine and celestial love, and became, even as to his human essence, the divine and celestial love itself, in which the love of all is alone regarded and is at heart. The Lord, when speaking of his union with the Father, speaks immediately and without a break of his conjunction with the human race, because this was the reason for the union with the Father. From this it is evident that in the union of himself with the Father, the Lord had in view the conjunction of himself with the human race, and that he had this at heart because it was his love. For all conjunction is effected by means of love, love being conjunction itself. In the union of his human essence with his divine essence, the Lord had in view the conjunction of himself with the human race. And this was his end, and this was his love, which was such that the salvation of the human race, as held in the union of himself with his Father, was to him the inmost joy. Here end our lessons. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen.